This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Kul Sujong, and with me, Joyce Goh, and guest host Giri Balakrishnan. Now, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ reached all-time highs on Friday following Jerome Powell, he's the Fed chair, Jerome Powell's affirmation on the Fed's strategy of gradually normalizing monetary policy, highlighting the strength of the U.S. economy. On the line to discuss this, we've got Kingsley Jones, the founder and CIO of Jevons Global in Sydney. Now, good morning, Kingsley. Thanks for joining us. Do you expect the positive sentiment last week to flow into this new week? And how long do you expect the euphoria in U.S. markets to continue?
Yes, we do think that the momentum will continue. I mean, the U.S. markets have recovered well from that first quarter sell-down on fears of rising rates, and they now seem set to conquer trade war fears by going on to make further highs. Unlike previous phases of the bull market, there's more to celebrate now because we have low unemployment, modest inflationary pressures, and funding rates are still cheap. So this is really the part of the cycle where we should see some capacity constraints emerge in the U.S., and that could attract further expansionary spending through capital expenditures. The transport stocks, like the parcel stocks, UPS and FedEx, and the rails, Union Pacific and Canadian National, are firm or making new highs, which suggests that underlying activity in the U.S. economy is still pretty strong. And the profit share is high, so there's plenty of money around to spend on new expansion. So we think that this bull market will certainly charge forward well into 2019, but perhaps we'll see a little bit of weakness beyond that in 2020.
So, Kingsley, some people are saying that this is the longest bull market run in history, as all good things must come to an end. When do you think this bull run will end? Should investors be careful?
Well, you know, the U.S. market certainly has had a stellar run, but we have to remember that, you know, the global, wider global markets have been soft, obviously, because of the financial crisis. But even within the U.S., there are many stocks and sectors that haven't really participated much in this bull run until recently. Specifically, the cyclical industrials, those that are sensitive to capital expenditures in the construction and other areas, they've been tracking sideways for 5 to 10 years. So it's really only the last 2 years that we've seen such stock show signs of life. We think some caution is warranted with the high price growth stocks, which have been the major beneficiaries for us, mainly in the phone complex. But even within technology, if you look at some of the majors like Apple, Microsoft, and Cisco, they're on quite modest multiples, and their revenue and profit growth is really strong. And elsewhere in aerospace and defense, Boeing is doing well, and also in energy, we're starting to see a real recovery with stocks like Chevron and also the oil services companies.
Kingsley, speaking at the annual Jackson Hole Symposium for Central Bankers last Friday, Jerome Powell defended the central bank's approach in gradually raising interest rates. And, you know, he said, you know, there are a few risks to the U.S. economy overheating. Do you agree?
Well, look, I mean, the U.S. economy really is in great shape at present, so I can understand why Jerome Powell is, you know, cautious. That is to say, he wants to raise rates to head off inflation, but he's not really fearful of overheating. You know, unemployment's below 4%, which has not happened since, I think, the late 60s in the U.S. But look, the wage pressures still remain low, and long-term interest rates at 3% mean business can still finance whatever they need to do in terms of capacity expansion. And the personal consumer expenditure measure of inflation is pretty tame at 2.2%. So, look, it takes some time for monetary policy to take effect. It may be up to 18 months as a general rule of thumb. And so we think, therefore, that, you know, with those favorable domestic trends, you know, it's right for Jerome Powell at the Fed to continue raising rates. But I don't think we're going to see any immediate overheating. If that does come, it'll probably be in 2019 when we start to see capital put to work in construction and other areas in the U.S.
Also on Friday, President Trump announced on Twitter that he had asked his Secretary of State to cancel a planned trip to North Korea. The president cited a lack of progress on denuclearization talks, and he also pointed a finger at China, which he accused of deliberately withholding cooperation in North Korea in order to gain an advantage in the escalating trade war between U.S. and China. Should investors be concerned by this, or is this another attention-seeking act by the president that will blow over?
Well, I think the big concern for markets remains the direct impact to China of the trade war. And, you know, at this stage, it's still hard to figure out exactly what's going on because there is a bit of a news blackout in China on, you know, active discussion of the impact of the trade tariffs. And we also have the attempts of the Chinese authorities to slow down the domestic credit expansion. So, look, it's difficult to disentangle those factors, and we probably won't see a clearer picture until later this year. I noticed that the Chinese PMI has been trending down a little bit. That's the producer, the Purchasing Managers Index of industrial activity, but it's still above 50, so they're still expanding. I think the main issue here is that there is a bit of concern that the rhetoric of the trade war, coupled with the situation in North Korea, might see the development of a period where we have a strategic competition between China and the USA. And, of course, from the Chinese side, what they dread is any U.S. policy of containment, such as used to be discussed back in the era of the Soviet Union and the then Cold War. So, look, the big risk is that we see the North Korean situation develop along the lines of previous proxy wars that played out during the Cold War. And indeed, in Syria, we're seeing some elements of that already with Russia. But I don't think this is going to derail markets at this stage. It's still premature to get too worried about a resurgence of Cold War proper. This more seems to be rhetoric at this time.
Kingsley, looking into Australia, former Treasurer Scott Morrison is now the country's sixth Prime Minister in just over a decade. So what do you make of this change in leadership down under, and how do you expect this to impact markets in the short to midterm?
Well, you know, Australians love Italian coffee, and it seems that we're now on a journey to imitate Italian politics with the dramas of the last couple of weeks. But I have to say that in Australia, certainly when I speak to other financial markets participants, they're pretty happy with Scott Morrison as a choice. You know, he's been well discussed and within the markets as a good choice to steady the ship. He's only the second treasurer since Paul Keating to make it to become prime minister. And naturally, the people with a treasury background do tend to be favoured by the financial markets. Josh Frydenberg as the new treasurer is obviously an unproven quantity, but I think people have a certain amount of respect for the way he conducted himself in his previous portfolio. So we're not anticipating any major changes. If anything, this will be a prime minister who's really on an election footing. Remember, there's going to be an election in Australia probably next year, in the early part of next year. And so I think that all those divisive activities of infighting within the Liberal Party coalition, we'll probably see that take a back burner as Morrison tries to divert attention towards, a program of emphasising his economic credentials going into an election. And on the other side, I have to say that Chris Bowen in Labor, while he's not the leader, he's certainly the voice of pragmatism. So I think although business is a little concerned about this turn of events, we're going to see probably no real change in policy until later next year.
All right, mate. Thanks so much for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer for Jevons Global in Sydney, Australia. We're going to be coming back with the business news headline, so stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.